awesome morning. We've got a beautiful weekend. We had a beautiful day yesterday and lovely day out again today. And it's just good to see you all here. For those of you who are uncomfortable because I've pushed the chairs forward in order to try to make people sit closer together and more to the front, my apologies, but tough. I really just want us to give us more a sense that of being together in church as opposed to each of us being separate in a little island unto ourselves. So, and if you want to use the back rows, as soon as you fill up the front, you can open up the back. So bring some more friends, enemies even. Lord tells us we're supposed to pray for them. Real quick, this little thing for the flowers. Frank Roth is the sergeant who is the chaplain liaison with the police department, so he and I know each other pretty well. And he coaches a fast-pitch softball team that his daughter plays on, and they are using this as a fundraiser. So it's a community organization, and it's sponsoring something that I think is a good thing, and we buy poinsettias anyway. So if you're interested in buying poinsettias for the church and or for yourself, feel free to use this form and turn it in to me, and I'll make one big order at one time. We'll just have them delivered here to the church to make it simpler for them if we could. If you have any questions about that, please let me know. The photocopy is black and white, so it didn't show the pictures very well of the flowers. But we do have color photos if you're interested in seeing just what each of the types look for if you don't know what that's about. Okay, enough commercials. One more time, I would like to thank everybody for last week's pastor appreciation. First off, it was awesome. I mean, really. Took Donna and I both 100% by surprise. We had no clue. We had no clue that there was anything in the works, and we were totally ambushed. It was a loving ambush, but ambushed nevertheless. And Pastor Clone did an awesome job, and all those of you who gave him input, I even hear that there was a rehearsal. And all I can say is, awesome job. Thank you very much. And if you weren't here last week and would like to check out the message that Will gave, I thought he did an excellent job. It is on the website, so you can check that out. It has been over a year since I started Romans, and we are going to conclude Romans today. So we're going to do all of chapter 16 in one fell swoop, which seems like a lot, and it is, but all of it is indeed the conclusion. So I just wanted to put it together. So let's jump into Romans chapter 16. Please read along with me. It says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and give her any help she may need from you. For she has been a great help to many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets in their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my relatives who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, whom I love in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, tested and approved in Christ. Greet those who have been in the who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my relative. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, Olympus, and all the saints with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I am full of joy over you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. God of peace, the God of peace, will soon crush Satan under your feet. The God of grace, or the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, be with you. Timothy, my fellow worker, sends you his greetings to you, as do Lucius, Jason, Sosipater, my relatives. I, Tertius, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, sends you his greetings. Erastus, who is the city's director of public works, and our brother Quartus, send you their greetings. Now to him who is able to establish you above my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Wow, right? Pastor, that was a long greeting. Yeah, but it was... You ever try to say goodbye to somebody? Sometimes you get on the phone and you say bye, and you know, you have family members sitting in the background saying, well, say goodbye for me too. But I'm the only one that ever does that to Donna. It just annoys her. I'm saying, say hi to me. And she, I'm on the phone, and she said, well, say hi to me. Especially when we're on the phone with the boys. You know, talking with one of them. The other one wants to say the other one. The weird thing I get occasionally, though, I'll be on the phone with one and on the computer talking through a voice program to somebody else. So I'll be having conversations going that I've even had two phone lines and the computer going at once. It's just saying hello or goodbye to everybody, trying to get those messages back and forth. And Paul has written a considerably lengthy letter here. And he's sending it to a place where, again, he's intending to go. And he's trying to lay the groundwork for what's going to be happening and coming forward. And part of that is renewing connections with the people that are there. And reminding the people who will be reading the letter that Paul isn't just some guy that they've never heard of or nobody knows. But you know a whole bunch of people who know me. Now, anybody ever have somebody call you and say, I'm a friend of so-and-so. Can you help me? And because they are a friend of so-and-so, you say, oh, sure, no problem. Huh? Yeah? Well, that's what's going on, part of what's going on. It's not the whole thing. But we got Paul here. Again, remember, he's planning to be coming to Rome. And he's also giving them quite a few instructions on how best to operate as the church. And while he started out by laying the base and saying, you know, I am the apostle to the Gentiles. And he is indeed anointed of God, and he's laid that groundwork. But now he's also saying, these people can know me well, and they can speak on my behalf. Ask them about me. That's part of what he's saying when he says, hi to all these people. Part of what he's saying is indeed, hi. Remember, the letters are meant to circulate so everybody will see them, but yet they are also on a certain level intimate in that he does send personal greetings. So he's dealing with this. Now there's 25 different people that Paul says, we're not talking about the rest letter, just in chapter 16, in this concluding part where he's saying goodbye, Paul greets 25 individuals and four groups, churches or households. That's a lot of people to be singling out. But if you've ever tried to single out people for thank you, you know, recognize, like, remember, ever, it's amazing anybody pays me to speak. But ever watch the Academy Awards or any awards show? People get up and say, and I want to thank, and they take out this list. Why do they take out the list? Because they don't want to forget anybody. It's important that to not forget anybody. Now, they may be the one who's getting the accolade, but they know they didn't get there by themselves. Paul didn't get to be the apostle to the Gentiles and lead as many people to Christ and start as many churches and do the work in Asia that he had done all by himself. Yes, indeed, the Holy Spirit anointed him for service. Yes, indeed. God was leading him. But God also gave him fellow workers. And he's acknowledging these people. He's saying, hey, these people worked hard. It wasn't just me. Public recognition is something that most of us like. I really enjoyed last Sunday. Hey, I like that. Anybody here not like, you know, having somebody say nice things about you? You know, especially in front of others. Well, some say, well, I get embarrassed when people say something. Yeah, but you like it. Don't you? You do. I do. It's a good way to get people to continue to do good things. It's called good personnel management. You praise in public and you correct in private as much as possible. That's the best way to really encourage people and to get the best work out of people. Another interesting thing that we see here is Paul has singled out 8 women. And he hasn't singled them out as being secondary in their service at all. One he refers to as a friend, specifically, not to mention just a hard worker, but this woman is a friend. And he's talking about these women in a very positive and meaningful way, saying that these women do good work. They're not a second class role within the church. It is just as important as the other role. It's just a different role. When we put the whole of Scripture together and we see it, we will have people who say, you know, man is to be the head of the household. Yeah, we see that, but we also see Paul teaching us that the husband is to submit to the wife too. It's supposed to be dual submission here, going back and forth. A lot of men like to forget about that. But this women in ministry role, sometimes we have real issues with it within the church. We have some people who think that if we say that women are to be doing one job and men are to be doing another job, that somehow the job that the women are doing isn't as important. And that's 100% false. Okay, I believe it's okay to separate jobs, some jobs, by one's gender. Okay? I should not be a deaconess. Why? The job of a deaconess specifically is to minister unto the women. Not my job. Not in that close of a context. It is my job as the role of pastor to oversee that and to make sure that the women's needs are being met. But I am not supposed to be the one meeting those needs in too great or too personal a matter. Why? Because that would be dangerous ground for me. However, our deaconesses ought not to be ministering too closely to the men either. And that's just one job. There are many, many times where it's better that a woman be doing it, or a woman is, as God has created women and men different, praise God. Did I get an amen? Something? He's created us different, and I'm very pleased for that. Sometimes it's frustrating. Because, no, I cannot read my wife's mind. And sometimes she would like me to. And sometimes I want Donna to read my mind. You know, it goes both ways. But again, Paul is pointing out these women and lifting them up for public praise. And he's not in some way saying that their job is less important, because in no way is it. God has created us different, given us each different gifts. Why? Because there are so many different jobs to be done within the body of Christ. And there is not one job that is more important than the other. I may be up here on Sunday morning, but you know what? You're not going to hear a whole lot if Paul and Mike back in the sound booth shut me off. And there won't be anything online unless Mike does it. It's just, but they're not up front. So their job isn't as, well, no, for as far as getting the message out, they are very much needed. Every one of you who pray that the Lord would anoint me and give me a message to speak, your job is needed. I need the prayer desperately every week. If you're not praying for me, please start. I can always use more prayer. So we have Paul opening up, or not opening up, but concluding this letter by touching base to build some groundwork for his next trip, giving public praises. In doing these things, one of the reasons why you do that, again, is to show people that you have connections. How many of you have seen the movie The Man from Stony River? I love that movie. Its cinematography is awesome. And the story is a decent story. And there's, you know, it's not rated R, and I can watch it without feeling guilty or any issues. Right? You remember? We've got the young man, the man from Snowy River, who was considered a boy when he first comes down in the mountain. And I just lost his name. Anybody remember? Okay. Anyhow, but his dad, in the beginning of the movie, you see, opening scene, he and his dad and this guy named Clancy, they're hanging out and they're working together, and then this guy's dad, he dies, and Clancy shows up at the funeral and says, you know, he was made, if you ever need, you know, let me know. You know, mate is Australian for friend. And then Jim, I think that's his guy's name, is a bunch of guys show up around the house and said, you can't live up here in the mountain with us. You haven't earned your place yet. You know, you got to go down to the flat for a while. So he goes down and he shows up at this ranch to look for a job. And they're talking, everybody's talking about this guy, Clancy, who's going to be coming. He says, oh, yeah, I know Clancy. Yeah, he was a mate of my dad's. And everybody's like, you know Clancy? Yeah. Yeah, your dad was a friend of his? Get real. Clancy shows up and says, hey, good to see you, Jim. Your dad was a good mate. All of a sudden, everybody's looking at Jim like, whoa, who is this guy? Who is this kid? He gave him a little street cred. Helped him out with standing with the new people that he didn't know. Paul doesn't know these people, but he's planning on going there. And he wants them to be accepting of him when he gets there. They've heard his reputation, but now they know that they know people who know him. Because not everybody always volunteers the information that they know somebody. You know, I've known I've known you what? Almost 8 years now, right? There's a bunch of people she knows that I don't know that she knows. She never told me. Why not? Why haven't you told me? She's like, well, I don't know. Well, we don't tell everybody that we know. And sometimes we don't tell people because we don't want to seem to be bragging. You know, I met so-and-so, But sometimes we need to know about it. And it helps others to know, oh, he knows them? Well, I'm kind of curious about them. I'm going to go ask them. Now, I know that some of you are like that. You'll say, well, I would never go talk to, maybe the mayor directly, but I know Pastor knows the mayor. I'll go ask him about the mayor. Well, that's kind of what's happening. So we have that whole entrance thing, a conclusion happening here in 16. Then we have a couple of points that, as he's concluding his letter, that he wants to bring home. The three most important points of his letter, if you would. Because it's what he wants us to take with. The last thing that he's saying as we go. First, it's a caution to watch out for those who cause division. Now, our prayer request for the persecuted church today is probably an awesome illustration here. This church has been burned 3 times. And the pastor is saying, amen, hallelujah, we are a church on fire. And they're still leading people to Christ. And as the church is persecuted, and we've seen it time and time again, the persecuted church does what? It grows. Why? Because the church comes together when it has persecution from outside. Anybody hear of a church closing because somebody got upset about the color of the carpet? I have. It happens. Somebody was upset about the color of the carpet. It happens time and again. Literally, hundreds of churches have closed because somebody thought one color of the carpet was better than the other, and they make it into a spiritual issue, and then they get sides, and they fight about it. And this division within the body ends up to the dissolution of that church. Yet if they had been attacked from outside, they would have come together, and they would have said, no, we will stand for God together. But because this problem came from within, it tore it apart. See, that's the danger. When the enemy comes against us from outside, the church grows through that difficulty. I'm not saying it's easy, but the church does go through it much, much better than when there's division within the church. When there are those who come in, and there are those people who come in for the sole purpose, they get their joy out of causing pain and suffering for others, out of harassing others, causing somebody else to get so frustrated that they just leave. Now, I do game online with my sons. You're all aware of this. And we play on what's called a PvP server. That means player versus player. And there's some parts where it's fun to be playing against other players. And, okay, you know, it doesn't sound real spiritual because we try to kill each other in the game. But you've got levels. You start out at level 1 and you go to level 60. And then when you get level 60, you got green gear and you got blue gear and you got purple gear and you got level 1 purple gear and you got level 2 purple gear and you're saying, what is the point of all this, Pastor? We don't care about this game. Well, the point is that somebody who's got level 2 purple stuff, he's like, walks around and, you know, if he sees somebody who's level 40 and he goes, they die. I mean, it's just that much of a difference. And some of these guys will go out and they'll camp different areas where they know that these lower levels have to go to quest in order to for their character to level up and get better. And they'll sit there and they'll camp out. And when they show up, they kill them. And then you run from the graveyard back to your body and your res up and they kill you right again immediately. And they will do that literally for hours. And it causes people great frustration. And they leave. Some people quit the game. That happens within the church. There are some people who come in and their point and their desire is to do nothing more than to cause so much grief that they can get somebody else to leave. If they can get somebody to leave, they're like, yeah! I got one. We're supposed to be on guard and look out for those people. And we see those people, we're not supposed to have anything to do with them. Those are the people that we are to be on guard against within the church. Because they will destroy us. And Paul's pointing that out to us, saying, watch out for these people. They will bring destruction. I want you to be obedient. And he commends them. That's the next thing he does. He commends them for obedience to the word and to what they've been taught. But don't be deceived by these people who want to bring division. Don't be led astray because they just want to destroy you. It says, but I want you to be wise about what is good. I want you to study it. I want you to know what's good. I want you to spend a lot of time there. Be wise about it. And innocent about what is evil. Not that you don't have a clue what evil is. That's not the time. But innocent in the fact that you're not spending time there. That you're not studying it. Innocent in that evil isn't where you live. This is what Paul is telling them. So encourage them. You have been obedient. And this is great. Keep it up. Study what's good. Avoid evil. And he gives them the promise of God's coming victory. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Remember, the church here was indeed still persecuted. The Jews in particular were still an occupied nation. And the fact that the God of peace was going to bring victory, that was going to end, that Satan would indeed be crushed, that all the attacks would, there is going to be an end, and that the victory is not in doubt. It's not that Satan is going to be beaten. You ever play a game? Like the Twins had this game for the playoffs here a week ago. Was it 11th? Was it the Twins or the Tigers? It was Tigers. Maybe I'm getting confused, but it was 11th inning or 11th or 12th inning. They won by, you know, it's supposed to be 9-inning game, and it went like 11 innings. It finally won. Well, it was close. No, it's not going to be close. It's going to be crushed. Going to crush him. You know what? God's going to do. Yeah. The victory of God is going to be so overwhelming over Satan that literally it would be like the battle between me and a single ant as I step upon it with all my entering rounds. This is God's promise of the coming victory. He's holding up that hope for people. He wants them to remember the hope. So, we need to be on watch. We need to be obedient. And we need to remember the hope. Those are the three things that he's ending with here. Then we come back and say a few words from others. A few words from our sponsors. No. A few words from other people. This is Donna sitting in the background and me sitting in the background saying, "Say hi from me too." And they do that. Again, more points of connection. Oh, I know that guy over there. I met him before. These people all saying hi. And then Paul concludes by doing the same thing we need to be doing in all things. That's giving the glory to God. "Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic right of the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him, to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen." Paul's very concluding thing is pointing to God. You and I, in all that we do, when we get to the end, the thing that we need to leave people with is we're pointing to God. In our lives, in our testimonies, as a church, as individuals, when all is said and done, we need to leave people with God and give Him the glory. Not be taking it on to ourselves. That was indeed the sin of Satan. But instead, we need to be giving God the glory and pointing others to Him. And here ends our study of Romans. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us this living word, which is new and fresh every day, to speak to our lives and show us how we can best live and work for you according to your will and purposes. Lord, we ask that you would help us to be faithful to others, to give them the credit instead of trying to take it for ourselves. Or to praise people and to give you the glory. Help us to be wise indeed about that which is good and, Lord, to stay innocent of the evil. May we not spend our time there. Lord, we pray that we would be a people that continually gives you the glory and leads others to that glory. In Jesus' name, amen.